Isaiah 53 and verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And this evening we would like to look especially at these last few words. With his stripes we are healed. I'd like to begin by illustrating the teaching of this verse, and especially of these few words. Think of a criminal, a notorious criminal who has rendered himself obnoxious to everyone by his crimes. And one evening he is brought into the local accident and emergency department. He has been in a terrible fight. The people have grabbed him, have hammered him, have stabbed him, have cut him, have taken him to the very edge of death, then thrown him off a height, then done all sorts of unspeakable things to him. And he's carried into this department in the hospital. The doctors and nurses look at him, and they realise there's really little or nothing that can be done. When in walks the king of that nation, strong, fit, healthy, and in the prime of life. And he gets onto the operating table beside this hemorrhaging, lacerated, bruised, and bloodied man. And he looks the doctors and nurses in the eye, and he says, "Inflict on me every wound that he has." Of course, the doctors and nurses hesitate. And he says, "I'm commanding you. This is an order. Wound for wound. Hemorrhage for hemorrhage. Laceration for laceration. Do it." And so they begin to obey his orders. They look at the wounded man, and then they replicate the wound on the king. And the most amazing thing happens. As they wound the king, the wound they were copying disappears. As they lacerate the king's body, the same laceration disappears on the wounded man. Until the king looks like that man looked. And that man looks like that king looked. And indeed something even more amazing is happening. Because all round the hospital, ward after ward, bed after bed, people are seeing their wounds, their scars, being healed and restored. With his stripes, we are healed. That's the gospel, isn't it? In a nutshell, that's the core. That's our hope. That's what this chapter repeats again and again and again, layer upon layer, line upon line. Him instead of us. Substitution. we'd like to look this evening at his stripes and our healing. His stripes, first of all. This, of course, is referring, first of all, to body stripes inflicted upon the Lord Jesus. We know from three of the Gospels that prior to his crucifixion, he was taken and scourged. This was a vicious, vile, cruel process, which often killed the person even before they were crucified. A wooden handle to which was attached many leather thongs. And then into these thongs were tied pieces of lead, pieces of bone, pieces of sharp wood. And this was slashed across the back and the front of the person to weaken them and make it easier for the crucifiers to nail them to the cross. And we think here of the Lord Jesus, his body stripes, that pure, perfect manhood, being so brutally wounded and lacerated, scourged. With these stripes, we are healed, says Isaiah. But there was much more to the stripes of Christ than mere body stripes. We can think, for example, of ear stripes, stripes on the ears of Christ. Perhaps some of you have experienced this in a measure. If you're a Christian, you go through the world, you hear things which are agony to hear. You hear blasphemies. You hear mockery. You hear slanders. You hear lies that you can't do anything about. And it's agony on your ears, isn't it? You hear the conversation, as we read of Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked every day. It was as if somebody was coming to his ears with a scourge and whipping them day by day. It vexed him and it pained him. And if this is true of our insensitive human natures, how much more the sensitive nature of Christ? What he heard, what blasphemies, what mockeries, what jests, what jokes at his expense, what filthy conversation as he walked around the markets, in the workshops, in the fields, amongst the fishermen. Coarse conversation which inflicted pain through his ears, perhaps more painfully than the bodily stripes. And then there were eye stripes, stripes on his eyes. Again, this is something the Christian knows something about. In this world, there are things which are too painful to look on, that just cause so much grief by passing through our eyes. We see suffering. We see agonies. We read stories which we can't read to the end to. Of little girls being abducted and kidnapped, of the persecution of God's people. Who can walk through a hospital ward without feeling the pain that goes through the eye? Who can go into an eventide home and not have one's eyes pained by the sight of poor, frail, dying human nature? Who can see the wickedness done, the sins committed by especially our loved ones maybe, unconverted, rebellious sons and daughters, and it's almost as if somebody is whipping your eyes with a scourge. how much more the Lord Jesus, who could see not just man, but saw what was in man, who saw suffering and sin in another dimension altogether, to another degree altogether. How his eyes, how he must have wished at times to have no eyes. What pain they caused him. What sorrow they brought to his heart. If we sometimes wish to avert our gaze and close our eyes, if there are some things that we wish we had never seen, how much more he, with his stripes, we are healed. We think of mind stripes, stripes on the mind of Christ. There's a philosophy lecturer in Glasgow University, and every lecture he begins, well not every lecture, but many lectures he begins with an example of foolishness or ignorance, of something illogical and unreasonable, usually to mock it, often a Christian argument, not always a Christian, but just an example of something that is, in his philosophical eyes, very unphilosophical, very illogical, very unreasonable. And when he does this, he's obviously doing it in a way that expresses his own pain at coming up against what is completely opposite to himself. But how much more Christ, who has perfect wisdom, who has perfect logic, who had perfect reason, and who had perfect knowledge, when he came up against the ignorance and the foolishness even of his own followers, when he came up against the unreasonable arguments and the illogical statements that people made about him and to him, as the apostle writes, what contradiction of sinners against himself he endured. If a philosophy lecturer is pained by the illogicality and the unreasonableness and the foolishness of human arguments and statements, how much more was Jesus Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What pain afflicted his mind. And then there were heart stripes. Stripes that went to the very core of his emotions and his feelings. Some of you know something of that, maybe. Maybe you think back to a time in your life. Maybe you're going through it just now. You loved someone, and you thought they loved you. And then one day, perhaps they betray you. Or they tell you these painful words, I no longer love you. What agony to have love repaid with hate. To have goodwill repaid with ill will. To have compassion repaid with cruelty. And yet this is what Christ experienced continually. Evil for good, he says, they did me repay. How much love he poured out, how much hatred he received. How much goodwill he showed, how much ill will he received. How much compassion he demonstrated, how much cruelty he experienced. How his heart must have been wrung out, torn asunder by these scourgings of men, even of his own loved ones, even of his own inner circle. Betrayal, denial, forsaking, fleeing, all alone. The great lover unloved. What stripes this laid on his heart. More than any broken heart you or I have ever experienced. Much more pain than any unrequited or unreturned love. More pain than any of our broken relationships. More sorrow than any betrayal you or I have ever had. His stripes. Heart stripes. But also, there were soul stripes. Stripes on his soul. And many of the things that we've mentioned thus far, of course, were stripes on his soul as well. But what was the greatest stripe on his soul? What was the most painful lash? Was it not to be counted a sinner? To be reckoned a sinner? And to be treated as a sinner? Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sin. He who knew no sin, made to be sin for us. And the most intense part of that pain was not just to be treated as a sinner and counted as a sinner by Roman soldiers or Jewish religious leaders or even his own people. In this chapter we read the conclusion that some of his own loved ones came to. We read that he was despised, he was rejected, he was acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. There were these thoughts even in the minds of his own loved ones. He must have been a sinner after all. How else would God smite him? Why else would God afflict him in this manner? Oh, to be thought of, to be reckoned as, to be treated as, to be viewed as a sinner by Roman soldiers, by Jewish leaders, by his own disciples, but above all by his own Father, who had shown him nothing but love from all eternity. And then here, this stripe upon his soul, the unmitigated fury and anger of God, to be treated by God as a sinner. What woe upon woe, his stripes. But these were also human stripes. By this we mean they were inflicted on his human nature. And as it was in our human nature we sinned, so it had to be human nature that suffered. And all these stripes are part of the healing. And each of these stripes is part of the medicine, the balm of the gospel. And each of these stripes is precious to the believer, to the Christian. Each of these stripes is worthy, is it not, of meditation, of thought. His body stripes, his eye stripes, his ear stripes, his mind stripes, his heart stripes, his human nature stripes, his soul stripes. But maybe this above all, this little word, just simply this, his stripes. His stripes. The Jews were very, very careful in scourging. They were very careful to match exactly the crime with the punishment. They had been indoctrinated with this from the very beginning, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. There had to be an equivalence. There had to be a match. And so many documents were written, many discussions were had about how many stripes such and such a crime merited. They didn't want to give any more. They didn't want to give any less. It had to be an equivalence. So much so that if somebody was sentenced to 40 stripes and the lasher gave 41, the person who did the lashing was then lashed himself with that extra stripe. And so wary were they of getting this wrong, of making a mistake, that usually they gave, if it was 40 stripes, 39, just to be sure. That's why Paul says, was it four times I received 40 stripes from the Jews, but one? The great care, the meticulous attention that was paid to the number of stripes, the punishment had to match the crime. And so we think, when we're thinking of his stripes, how many were required? How hard did they need to be? How many parts of him did they need to afflict and pain? How long should they be? If we are to be healed with his stripes, what is the equivalence? How many stripes are required? Where are they to be inflicted? How long is it to go on? These were the kinds of questions the Jews would ask, and that we should be asking. If we are to be healed by his stripes, questions arise. How many? Where? When? How? How long? But you know, in many ways, these are irrelevant questions. Because the most important question is this. Not what? Not when? Not where? Not how, but who. Who. And that's why we have here this great emphatic, with his stripes we are healed. The emphasis is not so much on the stripes, but on whose stripes they were. Who could bear sufficient stripes? Whose stripes could be an equivalence for our crimes? If healing is to be ours, who is capable of taking our punishment? And so we have here Isaiah bringing out, with his stripes, the stripes of Jesus Christ, the infinite God, the eternal one, the invaluable person, the one in whom we cannot put a price, the one who gives every stripe inflicted on him a value above what we can ever calculate. His stripes. That's your hope, is it not? Not when, not what, not where, not when, but who? Whose stripes? His stripes. That's our hope of healing. Let our focus be on the person that was scourged and striped and lacerated, who was made to hemorrhage in body, mind and soul, who suffered a scourging deeper than any person ever did, who bore all that incarnate God could bear. His stripes. And that is why we can then move on. We are healed. We are healed. And this obviously implies we are wounded. Just as the man was brought into casualty. He was wounded. Here this speaking of healing is implying that the people being spoken of here have been wounded and need healing. And who among us can deny this? Who looking at their life can say, I have no wounds? Sin has wounded us in the past. We have been singing together in these psalms, in Psalm, for example, 38. These solemn words. For in me fast thine arrow stick, thine hand doth press me sore, and in my flesh there is no health nor soundness any more. Because gone up above mine head my great transgressions be, and as a weighty burden they too heavy are for me, my wounds do stink. You feel that? My wounds do stink and are corrupt. My folly makes it so. I troubled am and much bowed down. All day I mourn and go. Who needs healing unless they are wounded? Who needs Christ unless they admit their sins? Who needs hope if they are not hopeless? Who needs his stripes to heal non-existent wounds? And so, friends, let us, with the psalmist, freely confess. Bring our heap of humanity before him and lay it before him and say, look at it. It's a rotten, stinking mess. It's corrupt from head to toe. I'm a burden to myself. I weigh myself down. It grieves me. It breaks my heart. It breaks my whole being at times to see what I truly am. And all that I have done. Wound upon wound upon wound. I'm hemorrhaging. I'm bleeding to death with sin. These are our wounds. But they're not only wounds of the past and the present. We have future wounds as well. Not just the sins that we will yet commit, but the punishment that will be inflicted in hell. Jesus tells a parable about hell in which he speaks of it as a place of stripes, of scourging. That's what lies ahead. We have not just wounded ourselves by sin, we have stored up wounds by sin. We're not just suffering the consequences, We have future consequences to bear. That's what lies ahead. We need healing of past and future wounds, of sins committed and sins to be punished. What is hell but a place where souls are wounded, where souls are scourged, where hearts and minds are striped for their sins? That's hell. And then the body to be united with the soul after the great resurrection. And the body will be joined to the soul, and the stripes will fall on both, and forever. Internal, external. Body, mind, soul, heart, eyes, ears, every part that has sinned. Wounds upon wounds and stripes upon stripes. This is hell. And this is why this verse surely is so precious. With his stripes, we who have been so wounded, we who are looking ahead at such wounding, we are healed. Is this possible? Well, in the Old Testament, there's link made between sin and disease, sin and sickness. Sometimes it was specific. I think of Miriam, sinned against Moses, inflicted with leprosy, many other examples. People are being taught the link between sin and sickness. Now, not all specific illnesses are caused by specific sins, of course not. But in general, as part of the curse, sin has brought disease, sin has brought wounds upon humanity. And the people of old were being taught this link, this connection, sin, wounds. But they were also taught a link between atonement and healing. You read in Leviticus, many ceremonial laws for skin diseases, for leprosies, for infections. They required the sufferer to bring an atonement, a sacrifice, to the temple. So this link was being made. Sin and sickness, atonement and healing. And of course the more spiritual amongst them saw this was not so much about physical disease and physical healing, but about the more serious, fatal spiritual disease and spiritual healing. It was a healing associated with blood, with a killing, with a flaying, with a bloodshedding, with a cutting, with a burning, with a sacrificing. And so when these people would come to this passage, with his stripes we are healed, their minds would immediately go to sacrifice, atonement, blood, killing, flaying, bleeding, cutting, burning. With these stripes, we are healed. Here Isaiah, of course, is prophesying the great stripes of Christ, which would bring such great healing to humanity. And how much healing it brought. With his stripes, we are judicially healed. The sins of the past are healed and made whole. They are wiped away. We see Christ being smitten. We see him being afflicted of men and of God. And as he is afflicted, as he is wounded, as he is scourged in body and soul, we see a wonder happening. Our sins, our guilt, being healed, being made whole, disappearing. Judicial healing. Our legal record, our crimes wiped away. Sent forth with a clean bill of health. We see in his stripes inner healing. healing for the conscience, healing for the hurts, healing for all the upsets. Oh, the wounds of Christ, the stripes of Christ are the place to go, the place to take all your wounds, your spiritual wounds, your emotional wounds, your mental wounds, all your inner hurts. Take them to the wounds of Christ. He alone can give inner healing. And above all, from the inner disease of sin. Is there any greater force in the whole world against sin than the wounds of Christ? We can read the law again and again and again. And we look at our wounds. They're still there. We can read of his judgments again and again and again. Surely they will stop us sinning. We look at our wounds and they're still there, deeper than ever. We read of his threats of hell and eternal destruction. Oh, surely they will heal our wounds and stop us sinning. Maybe till Monday morning. But look, we're reopening them again. Till we look at the wounds of Christ with his stripes, we are healed. There is judicial healing. There is inner healing. There is soul healing. There is outer healing. Not in this world, usually, but in the world to come. We're told our vile bodies shall be transformed and made like unto his glorious body. How does this happen? Just as it happened in that casualty department in Ficar. As he is wounded in his human nature, stripe after stripe, so our human nature, the wounds begin to be healed. And in glory, we will see complete healing. Healing begun, healing progressing here, but healing perfected in the world to come. And his wounds, still visible. His wounds, glorified. His wounds, beautified. These stripes have effected such healing. In time, yes, but in eternity, ultimately. See him on the cross. See him scourged. See him striped. See him lacerated. See him hemorrhaging. See his soul being crushed in the wrath of God. Hear the cries and the pains of his wounds. And as you see and as you hear, look and behold. Your own wounds are stopped bleeding. Your own wounds have the balm of Gilead poured in. Your own wounds begin to close. Your own scars begin to disappear. With his stripes, and only with his stripes, are we healed. The balsam tree needs to be lacerated. It needs to be cut deep in order for the healing resin to come out of it. And it's collected and it's poured into the wounds. So it is with Christ. He needed to be lacerated to the very core of his being. Deeper than any spear, any scourge, any nail could pierce. The sword of God awoken against His Son, piercing to the very depths of His soul. What a wound. What a healing. With His stripes, we are healed. Oh, friend, can you say that? Is your hope alone in His stripes? Can you sit here tonight and hear of these stripes and see these stripes in the gospel? Say, I don't need it. I don't want it. What would you do if somebody came and wounded you? What would you do if somebody came and stabbed you? You would run to the accident and emergency. You would seek advice. You would seek the greatest physician. You would want immediate treatment. You would want the wound closed, antiseptic poured on it, care taken of it. Would you not? There's something far more serious. You're wounded in your soul and you're bleeding to death. When all the time there's one here who has bled to death to heal. Why aren't you running to him? Why aren't you going to him and saying, look at me. Look at my wounds. Behold them. Can anyone help me but thyself? Come and pour thy blood into my soul. Come and heal me with thy stripes. Oh, would it not be wonderful if everyone here, young and old, could say of the truth, with his stripes, I am healed. And what a wonder it will be in glory. Will that not be the song for all eternity? Oh, with his stripes, I am healed. May you sing it. Let us pray. Our blessed and glorious Lord and God, can it be that we should gain an interest in the Saviour's love? Oh, we thank Thee that the answer is yes, even for the chief of sinners, even for the most wounded. Oh, we pray that Thou wouldst come and that Thou wouldst question souls tonight. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Oh, speak and do all that we need. In Jesus' name we pray.